Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's about halfway through the month, day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Would you be my Valentine?
Absolutely. I don't have anybody else. It would be mine. Might as well. Do you have anything planned?
No. Nothing planned.
Happy Valentine's Day. Or is it New York they used to say Happy Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I've heard people say Valentine's.
Yeah. What is that about?
That's just they don't know what they're doing. They're idiots.
Oh. That's some people that say, I got to ask you a question.
Well, that's different. It's kind of a dialect.
Oh, I got it. Well, let me kind of catch you up on a few things. We got some exciting things happening. First of all, you can follow John C. Dvorak over on Twitter, and that's at The Real Dvorak, and myself, Andrew Horowitz, just my name, Andrew Horowitz. But I'm getting ready for a trip this weekend.
Where are you going?
Austin.
Why?
Seeing Adam and Tina.
You're not going to Austin just to see them.
Well, I mean, it was one of the reasons I'm going. I've never been there. It's a cool place. Going to get some good barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Austin is really a nice little town.
Yeah. I think on Sunday, I may crash your podcast, but I may head to San Antonio for the day.
What are you going to do there?
I'm not sure. I guess we're going to see a couple of buildings, the forts. What do you call it? What forts are there? Not Fort Knox. The Alamo's there.
Alamo?
The Alamo's there. Yeah. So I don't know. There's a lot to do there, but it'll be a day trip.
San Antonio's got quite a bit of touristy stuff you can do.
I'm looking forward to that.
Riverwalk is the main
thing. Yeah, I saw that. That looks nice.
Oh, it's interesting.
So here's the idea. So I'm going out with Adam and Tina on Saturday evening. We're going to this really cool restaurant.
And when Adam should be doing show prep. Go on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get even worse because we're going to have sponsorships available to get out of Adam's Soust event. So
Sorry?
So there's a sponsorship available. If any of the listeners want to participate and sponsor the Get Adam Soust event.
Oh, Get Adam. Well, it takes, you know, he's a lightweight. So I think he's got Indian blood in him.
Well,
he had one drink and he's pretty much soused.
Well, I thought it'd be kind of fun to get him pretty wrecked and then have him have a massive hangover for the No Agenda show on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks.
So if you want to donate, we're going to make sure we'll put you on the sponsorship. We will give you a shout out and we'll see how much we can get him crocked for the No Agenda show. So he's all over it. He's going to have fun. The other thing that's been going on, I don't know about your life, but my life, I'm all about curling.
Yeah, you've been saying you really like curling.
I think I started a trend because a lot of people are talking about this.
I always liked it when they had those two sisters. They were like twins from Canada, I think.
I don't think they're
or Detroit someplace.
They haven't played yet.
The two blondes.
Oh, well, maybe they're playing. They haven't. Yeah. We just saw the, here comes a spoiler alert here, but Canada won in the mixed doubles. They won gold against Sweden or Switzerland. I think it was Switzerland. It was a pretty ugly ending.
Why? Did they have a fight break out? Hockey?
Yeah, they were throwing the stones everywhere. 45 pounds each. They just fell apart. They gave up after five ends. So, all right, let's talk about the market because I got to tell you, there's a lot of things happening in the last couple of weeks. It seems to be a lot, things have cooled down a little bit, but there's, you know, plenty of people talking about, well, you know, why did this happen and what does this mean? Everybody's trying to wrap this up into a nice, neat, and kind of quick one sentence. Oh, we were due. We knew it. We got it. Now it's kind of gone. That's kind of the, right? Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. But let me give you a few stats here, some things that went on here. This was the probably the most volatile couple of weeks and years. Even the January 2016 drop didn't seem to have as much volatility because it was more of a creep lower over time. This was just a slam in the face for like 4 days. I think it was two days, maybe it was three. There was like a 1,700 point range on the Dow. That's absurd.
Yeah, well, and under most circumstances.
Yeah, from top to bottom, indices were off about 12% in a matter of 2 weeks. We had what we'll call a stick save on Friday, last Friday, where all of a sudden things were getting really ugly and kind of tense and bad. And all of a sudden, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, things started turning around and it went straight up from down 2% to up 2% during the last two trading hours. Mm. That's unbelievable. It's all the indices across. So what are the reasons? So what's been going on? So one thing was that the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average cracked below not only their 50-day moving average, but their 200-day moving average. NASDAQ got pretty close, just kind of was in the vicinity. And then we saw on Friday something interesting. I thought it was interesting, at least. You know that oversold and overbought meter that I have, that I've designed?
Yes, your oversold, overbought meter.
It did something I haven't seen in real time. I've only seen
it broke.
It was pinned at -7, which...
Yeah, you posted it on Twitter. I saw that.
If you would have bought right about then, which we did actually, we bought some things for our clients. I bought some options. It was a glorious moment. It just ratcheted back up. We're back to a neutral already from a -7. It goes from a -7 to a +7. Usually if it's oversold, you get like -4s, -5s, but -7 is pretty ugly. So it's only been a few times in the last 20 years. So again, what happened? Why all of a sudden did we see, you know, this drop and this move back? So let's start with the end. What happened with the ratchet higher? So here's my theories. First, rebalancing. You got these robo and automated advisors that are rebalancing. So if you have, for example, a portfolio, and let's make it easy. Let's say you have 50% stocks and 50% bonds, and you're on an automatic rebalancing program. In the event that one or the other gets 10% above or below its desired range, so if you go from 50 to 56%, let's say, in stocks, or maybe down to 44%, it automatically rebalances you. So now we have a 12% drop, and I think many of these programs kicked in.
Oh.
And just started buying and repositioning the models.
Could be. That makes sense.
Then you got valuation.
Things are a plague.
Yeah. Well, there's more, because a couple of things here that I think bear some real good in, looking at these internally of what went on. But valuations, the S&P was as cheap on Friday as it was in October in terms of forward earnings. So a fundamental player saw this as like, oh my God, got to get in. And then, you know, you see a little bit of follow through. So I'm thinking we're going to see this follow through for a couple of days. Tomorrow is a big number. We'll talk about the economics in a moment. But tomorrow has the CPI number coming out, which is the thing that's been spooking people. At least that's what they've been saying. You know, oh my God, inflation's going to get out of control. The Fed's going to have to start ratcheting rates. And what's happening? So the problem has been we've seen very low volume the last couple of days after all this. So I think there's a lack of conviction. So now what happened? Why did this happen? You know, why did we have this big downstroke? So everybody's blaming rates. You know, we saw the 10-year hit 2.85 or 86%. But it wasn't just rates are rising. They rose pretty quickly in a short period of time. Also, I think low liquidity. Fed's removing accommodations, and they said they're going to continue doing so, right? I mean, they said it.
Yep. Yeah, that's what they said.
But here's what I think is really the cause that nobody's talking about. Passive investing. I've talked about this before and I've warned about this. ETFs. You see, when you buy a stock and you say, oh, I like Apple and I like, I like Caterpillar and I like Disney. And all right, so you buy those stocks. That's the old way of doing things. These days, everybody's conditioned to not do that. Instead, they're just going to buy the S&P 500 ETF or the small cap ETF. So when you do that, you're buying, if it's the S&P 500 ETF, 500 stocks at once. So all this money floods in, and what are they buying? Everything, indiscriminately. And because volume has dried up, there's less shares outstanding due to buybacks, and there's this indiscriminate buying and selling going on. Once you get the selling that kicks in, who's the remaining buyer, right? Who's buying? If everybody's buying or selling the ETFs, they're just selling the entire market at once.
Yeah.
So we saw that the SPY had a record $23.6 billion in outflows last week.
Wow.
Yep. Big one. So I think that there's going to be some talk about this. I hope there's going to be some talk about this because, you know, everybody's been like, oh, you don't want to be with active managers that charge you, you know, 1%. You should be in an ETF that charges 0.1 or 0.2. There are some reasons for that. But people got crazy about this. And now you realize what happened. The active managers navigated this pretty well. They were able to buy at better prices because they have cash sitting around usually. They're not forced to sell if somebody is, you know, they're not, the money's not coming out as fast. So I think there's going to be some big follow-up on this. And I think you're going to see the active managers waving their flags of victory. Finally. And then we had the VIX blowout, right? We had that VIX shenanigans.
Yeah, that's the best.
So here's a follow-up to this. Take a look at this table here. We did some calculations. And if you remember, the VIX went up so much that a couple of funds closed and a lot of money was lost on the short VIX strategy. So we took all the funds that we could find that were either ETFs or mutual funds and looked at how much assets under management they had just days before the VIX crash for the short side and what they had after. And we calculated that out and they had $4.25 billion of cash or of assets under management. And afterwards, they had only about a little over a billion. So they lost $3.42 billion. That is evaporated. That will not come back. And that's just these, what, 10 funds?
Yeah. Very funny, all these funds. You think does there need to be this many?
Everybody hopped on the wagon.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's out of control.
Well, it's the same thing as always. Isn't it the same thing as always? You know, they get something going and they got to get pile in and they got to get over the top and everybody's got to do it and then it just cracks. I think the story has been repeated. Then, of course, we have the final part of this, which you knew was going to happen. That now there's some whistleblower that's saying, oh, by the way, the VIX has been manipulated. Really? Well, really? We knew that. So now they're looking at whether bets were placed on the S&P 500 options that influenced VIX futures after the close that day that cracked everything.
Wow, interesting. So, another investigation.
Yep. So then the final thing is this. And we're going to debunk this. I'm going to debunk this. I need to know what you think of this. So everybody's talking about, hey, rising bond yields. Why? Well, we have a good economy. We have the Fed that is going to normalize. And, you know, right now it looks like maybe stocks will be rotating back and all this thing. You know, all the reasons why they're talking about why you should be in bonds. So this is all about the Fed's unwind, right? And really good growth in the U.S. economy. But at the same time, what's happening is the U.S. dollar is weakening. And that's said to be due to these risk-on conditions. You know, put money in foreign markets, borrow against the dollar. Things are good here. And you can do carry trade, right? So, has anybody ever considered the possibility that poor fiscal policy and a real concern over the leadership here in the United States could be a part of the reason for bonds are being sold. And that would align with a weakening dollar. I mean, if we saw another country spending recklessly, putting in place massive trillions of dollars worth of programs without really even reading what they are, and all sorts of shenanigans going on at the upper levels of the administration, don't you think we'd point to that and say, well, you know what? There's a lot of political instability there and concern about what they're doing. Maybe we're not going to buy their bonds. Maybe we'll take their money out of the currency.
It's logical. I mean, the only saving grace for the U.S. Economy and the dollar is that it's the reserve currency.
It is the reserve currency. No question about that. But why is it dropping so much?
Well, Let's see. I haven't even looked at it recently. Let me see what it is today.
I think that if anybody were to go on TV or go on radio and say that it's because of the poor fiscal policies and the general lack of certainty with our political system here in the United States, they'd be tarred and feathered. So I'm starting the tarring party. I'm saying it. I'm not ashamed. It's not a political statement, by the way. I think it's just fact. Because now you're going to have all these people going, oh, you liberal creep, you left or you're left. It's not about that. Step back and look at what's going on. You know, we just saw a budget just get passed to keep the government open and to fund all the stuff that nobody saw, nobody looked at. And it's going to add hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit.
Because we need a bigger military.
Not big enough. And a parade. Don't forget about the parade.
Yeah, that won't. The parade will take forever to figure out.
Yeah. So what are you seeing on the dollar?
It's $1.24, pretty much.
On the euro?
Yeah, that's all I look at.
Yeah, the yen's, yen's going up. Dollar's dropping again tonight, and this is in front of what's happening tomorrow, which is considered to be, I think, an important number. I mean, we're going to see probably if the number comes in out of line, either soft or hot, then there's going to be some problems. And that is the CPI for January. Expectations. And this is kind of weird. So usually the PPI comes out, let's say, on a Friday. And always the producer price index, from as long as I can remember, comes out before the CPI. Somehow CPI is coming out tomorrow and PPI on Thursday.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I don't know. There must have been some reason. I know why. Wasn't Friday the government shut down for like 5 minutes?
Yeah, they did shut down. I think it was a couple hours.
That's what it's got to be. That's what it has to be, because they probably shut it down. They probably set up to have the release in the morning. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know when it was going to be restarted back. So they just pushed it off this week. That's what it is. We have, retail sales coming out. Expectations for an increase of about a whopping 0.2%. And Philly Fed, industrial production, capacity utilization on Thursday. And housing starts and building permits on Friday. So we got a question in from that you need to handle this from listener Susie. You see that?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw Susie's little snag question.
Ah, you want to take this?
Well, let me see if I can find it. I have it on the rundown here somewhere.
If you do Susie like I do Susie.
Here it is. On episode 393 at 5720.2, Dvorak picks an insider buying stock, AMMA. At the time, it was 85 cents, and then it went to 60.65 and dropped. Of course, it was killed by – what is it now, by the way? What is the price of that stock now? Let's look. It was killed by the downturn, for the weak downturn. It killed everything.
Let's see. Last on AMMA, 67 cents.
Okay, so it's up. It's not on the DH Weekly pick list. Why? Well, because it's done.
Right.
It got wiped out immediately. And I see no evidence of insider buying on this one. Well, there was an insider buying. It's the only reason I'd pick it. I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the directors, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, looking at it, I might get some myself at 67 cents if the insider was buying it at 85.
That's a big move.
Yeah, it's way down there. Yeah. But it's moving up.
2 cents.
Two cents is a lot.
Yeah, starting a trend. I agree. So there you go, Susie. There's your answer.
I don't have an answer, in other words.
Okay.
But it did get wiped out. And so if you bought it at 85, you're probably holding you're in the black, red. You're in the red. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
In the green.
But like we say, we have the disclaimer, you know, you got to do your own research.
Yep.
Not all of our picks go up, and especially these penny stocks. We should always warn people that anything under a dollar, I mean, it's usually traded in some obscure, you know, exchange, the pink sheets, or, some one guy's got to, is carrying the whole load and he's answering phone calls and moving stock around. It's not really, it's very speculative.
Yep.
But every once in a while, You can get out of a hole with it.
Yep, absolutely. You know, Credit Suisse. This is I talked about this last week, where they were the ones that were the XIV fund, the inverse VIX that crashed in the closing.
The one that really took it in the shorts, the worst.
Right. Yeah. They also now have a class action suit over $1 billion in write downs that they took in 2015 and 16. Linked to its trading division. So, you know, these Euro banks, you know, between them and Deutsche Bank and a few others, I mean, they're constantly having all sorts of weird things that they do. What's their problem?
You tell me. I mean, it's baffling. How do they even stay in business? They do a lot of risky business. They lose their assets. They're always constantly being either suing somebody or they're being fined.
Right.
For millions of dollars for sketchy practices.
Yep.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I'm short those, we're short that.
Short all of them? You're short Credit Suisse. Deutsche Bank?
Yeah, Credit Suisse right now.
Okay.
We saw the White House budget's been floated, proposing to cut entitlements, programs by about 1.7 million, and there's some weird stuff going on with food stamps.
You have on here 1.7 trillion.
Yeah. They cut, over 10 years. What'd I say?
Yeah. Sounds right. You said 1.7 million.
Oh, no. 1.7 trillion. It's hard to even say trillion. Trillion. So, again, that goes back to my other discussion.
This particular aspect of the thing has not been passed.
No. And it probably won't.
And it's not going to be passed.
No, I don't think so. You've watched some of the Olympics, right? You saw Kim Jong-un's sister?
I did see her. I've been trying to see the girl who apparently just totally kicked ass on the snowboard.
Oh, yeah.
And got a 90-something and won the gold. Korean, she's an American, but she's Korean heritage, which made it kind of interesting.
Yep.
And a local girl, I think she's from around. We have a lot of local guys and girls that are in the Olympics. From Palo Alto for some reason. And I wanted to see that, but they don't let anybody else but NBC show it. And NBC's got coverage and they're not showing it. It's just the Olympics guys, you know, if it's a sporting event and there's something spectacular that happens, they got to let other people play it.
Well, she was good though. She was on that, on the snowboard, on the pipe, the half pipe or the full pipe or the pipe. Something.
Yeah. The half pipe.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah.
Some sort of pike.
Yep. Steve Wynn is resigning from the company, from Wynn, his namesake company.
Yeah.
That was quick. And now, by the way, Nevada gaming regulators, they're new. There's a new, check this out, a new online system for the public to send in confidential complaints and tips about Steve Wynn.
Oh.
They had to set
called
up
the Wynn line.
They had to set up a database for this.
Wow.
That's when you know things are getting bad. He's got a long history, it seems.
Well, he's a volatile character who's he could be bipolar. We don't know. And he he's kind of a genius, and I guess it's a genius versus his ex-wife, the woman scorned. And I think I kind of go along with the thesis that it was Elaine had a lot to do with this.
It seems that this was her final death throw.
I mean, it also seems to me that she's just shooting herself in the foot because her net worth had to drop like a rock.
Yeah. Wynn definitely went down, the Wynn shares, but they're holding up pretty good. They're at 165 or something like that. I'm not sure where they were right before that, but maybe they were above 200. So what is that, 10%, 12%?
Well, I guess it's not too bad if it makes a comeback. But then again, long term, it's questionable whether it'll make the comeback because Wynn is really a hands-on operator.
Yeah, well,
how much of this has to do with him? I don't think it's a coincidence that all these properties he owned in the past that he built up to – Mirage, Treasure Island, Bellagio, and all these things, which he had to sell to MGM when he went through a blip. He made those things happen. They would have never been anything like that on the Strip if it wasn't for him.
The Strip, you have to give him the kudos for the for reinventing the strip in the way it is today.
Yeah. The only thing that came close kind of was Caesar's Palace and the MGM.
Right.
But the Bellagio is really, it still is a fantastic place.
And I told you, if you ever go, you have to have brunch or lunch at the Wynn Hotel. Quite a fabulous buffet. And I told you.
All their places have, the Bellagio has a fantastic buffet. And so did they all did.
Right. This was, what I did was, I happened to go for lunch at 2. I think I told you the story. I went to lunch at about 2 o'clock. And all of a sudden at 3 o'clock, they're taking everything away. And I said, what's happening? I said, do we have to leave? They said, no, we're setting up for dinner. Don't worry about it. I said, but we didn't pay for dinner. Dinner's like, you know, multitudes higher price than the lunch. They're like, no, just sit here and eat whatever you want. So if you ever go about 2 o'clock or go a half hour before they close. And
yeah, get the lunch price and have an early dinner like you lived in Florida. Hey, you do live in Florida.
Right. I know all the buffet tricks.
The 4 o'clock early bird.
Yep. New York Times in the news. Somebody saying, I can't imagine this, but print media is possibly dead. They said the company CEO said that New York Times print products may last another 10 years. And they're building their digital presence. It will reevaluate their demand for print and all that. So, you know, last week when the New York Times came out with their earnings, I wanted to take a look at what was going on. And, you know, I don't know if you hear it, but every time I hear the word New York Times, I put the failing New York Times in front of it. Right? Take a look at this chart of New York Times.
Okay.
Since the election. That's the failing New York Times.
Yeah, it's gone from $12. It doubled. It's a doubler.
How great is that?
Well, if you were investing in October of 17, it'd be great.
Mm-hmm. October, yes, 16. October.
No.
Yeah, October of 16.
Oh, okay, October 16, you're right.
Yeah. So just to let you know, anybody that wants to take a look at these charts, tables, and things of that nature, all over at DH Unplugged, episode number 395. Just click around, you'll find it. But this went from, the chart we're looking at went from under 12, right about the time of the election, up to 24 and a half.
Yeah.
The failing.
This little thing at the end here from 18 to 24 and a half is a little bit sketchy.
I think a lot of it had to do with this is 2018. Don't forget, we had that big jump in January of stocks across the board, but this held because they had earnings that were just fantastic.
Well, with all the current scandals going on around internet advertising, which the New York Times seems to have jumped on board with saying that print is dead, this is risky.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think that's going to be starting to come a lot more into the forefront, the whole idea of bots, I hate to say the word fake news because just not real.
Well, I don't think fake news it makes a difference to the bottom line, but I think the bots and this and the click farms and some of these other things that all these guys are using, because there's a bunch of consultants who are actually service organizations, service companies you can hire, and they will boost your numbers.
Yeah, but the problem is I think this is going to start spreading. I think more and more people, it started with Facebook recently, and I think there's going to be a little bit of a revolution. As a matter of fact, tonight, the CEO of Salesforce was, full out there ragging on social media and the bad news that spreads, you know, Benioff.
He hates social media.
He was all over it again tonight, talking about there's going to be just like an apocalypse when it comes to social media.
Yeah.
And particularly was focusing on Facebook.
Could be or not.
Mm-hmm.
Could go the other way.
I don't know. I don't know how that happens.
Maybe he's trying to sink the stock so he can get in.
Maybe. Possibly. Pot sales in Aspid have eclipsed the sales of liquors for the first time ever.
That's weird.
$11.3 million in revenue last year compared to $10.5 million for liquor. 16% increase in 2016. Pretty good.
I'd say.
Yep.
I guess they're skiing stoned.
I guess so.
Hey, man, here I come.
That would seem dangerous. Well, I mean, anything. Well, skiing seems dangerous to me. I don't like skiing. You like skiing?
No. I mean, I've skied, and it's actually kind of, I mean, the scene is fun, but I'm no good, so I gave up.
I just go down and get a massage, have hot toddies, and wait for everybody to come down the hill.
Well, you can get one of those fake casts hanging at the bar.
Yeah. after the hours of the market today, two pieces of information came out that were kind of interesting. Number one, Chipotle confirms that it's bringing on Brian Niccol as CEO effective March 5th. He was the CEO over at Taco Bell.
I thought Taco Bell was owned by Purina or some.
Yum
Brands. Was he the CEO of Purina?
No, not Purina. Yum Brands.
Oh, Yum Brands. Right. Well, I think Purina used to own some chain, which is funny since they make dog food.
Right. Well, and it would fit well with Taco Bell.
Was he's the CEO of Yum Brands?
He was the CEO of the Taco Bell division of Yum Brands.
That's to me is not.
Well, he ran the whole Taco Bell.
Okay, well, he did a good job at Taco Bell.
He did a definite turnaround there. But what's interesting is, you know, Chipotle is supposed to be casual, you know, a step above fast
food. High quality Mexican food.
Right. And you're coming from Taco Bell, which...
Yeah, which doesn't even Mexican food, if you think about it. Right. They kind of make it, you know, they use crispy taco shells. Mexican food very rarely has that. I mean, you can get it, but it's not these sort of shells.
Yep.
It's more of an American, you know, it's like the taco you'd have if you're in college, you have taco day and you bring all your buddies over and you have some ground beef with some cumin and a bunch of taco spice mixed in and some shredded lettuce and tomatoes and some cheese. And that's like a taco. You could not find that taco in Mexico.
Yeah. That's like at my house. It's taco night. Kids, it's taco night. The kids are like, it's taco night. We get to make our own food. They love that.
Yeah, all it's kids exciting. Do.
Yeah. Stock is up 8% after hours on that news.
Chipotle?
Yep. It hit a multi-year low just a few days ago. So it had nowhere to go but up, I guess. Fossil, one of our show favorites, in talking about how we wonder how the watch business is going to be there in a number of years. And the stock has fallen, I don't know, 80 or 90% or something from its high. Earnings were not awful. That's an important term right there. There was nothing great about it, but they weren't awful. And there was something about a lot more selling of wearables and stuff like that. Stock was up 80% after the close.
Unbelievable.
Short squeeze du jour. Up to about 1425. Still down from, I don't even know where it was, 60s?
No, it was way too high, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the decorations people like to wear on their wrists nowadays. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So we have a very significant number of listener Fed limericks.
Uh-oh.
It seems to be catching fire.
Yeah, that's it. It's catching fire.
Where else? We have the exclusive on this, I think.
We'll have a book full of these things shortly.
Right. I got to get a pen and paper and mark.
You got to make sure that when these things are submitted, they're submitted without, they have to be submitted so they're public domain so we can put them in a book.
That's a good point.
I'm making that clear to everybody from now on.
Yeah. I'm going to also mention the No Agenda Show is on Thursdays and on Sundays. Of course, this Sunday is going to be the pickled No Agenda Show with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. A wonderful deconstruction of all of the...
Or in that show, it's going to be deconstruction.
Sure. Of all the news out there, and it's really a fascinating show, and take you to the future and back all in 3 hours. And of course, listen to the Discipline Investor podcast. We have some great guests on actually the last few weeks. So,
yeah, you've been good guests.
Yep.
How about that?
All right. So let me get a pad out because you do the grading of this.
Yes, I do. I'm the judge.
Mm. All right.
Let me get my judging paddles. Okay.
I'm taking a sip of the official Fed Limericks iced tea. All right, Steve sent in a couple. He says the first one, and the two of them are a little bit of a similar, but a little change up here. So here we go. There once was a Fed chair named Janet who controlled the biggest checkbook on the planet. She got sacked by Mar-a-Lago, took it out on Wells Fargo, and said the president's head is full of granite.
That one with it's the granite that doesn't work. Janet, yeah, Janet, planet, granite. But planet and granite, it technically rhymes, I agree, but it just kind of falls off. I don't know. I'm giving that one a C-.
Wow, so tough. I liked it. Okay, Steve is
sending you liked it. Okay.
Well, he's sending another one. I didn't say it was an A or anything. He sent another one. Here we go. There once was a Fed chair named Janet who controlled the biggest checkbook on the planet. She got kicked to the curb. The markets got disturbed. She looked at Powell and said, have at it.
That was a lot better. I'll give that one a B, solid B.
B, okay. Now we have from Patrick Daugherty sends one in. Says, on the first day of the chairman named Powell, investors, they let out quite a howl. They shorted the VIX and got their due licks, and now they wear such a scowl.
Why are they wearing a scowl if they shorted the VIX?
Killed. Remember, the VIX went up.
Oh, no, you're talking about when it was at the bottom. I thought if they shorted the XIV, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I'll give that one a B minus.
B minus. Okay. Then we have from Gary. Let's see here. No, Gary Henberry. He says, Fed says you have been naughty, wink, wink. Wells Fargo's stock price must sink. We'll pretend it's spanking for your onerous banking, but as always, no bankers in the clink.
I like that one. And by the way, you left the A out as well. We'll pretend it's a spanking. You said spanking.
Sorry.
For your onerous banking, it's always moving. But as always, no bankers in the clink. I'll give that one a B.
Okay. And finally, from Leon Alling.
Leon Alling, yeah. Yep.
The Dow plunges, investors are scared. Algo trading seems somewhat impaired. There's no God here to bless you, no Bitcoin to rescue. The Fed sits idly so unprepared.
It was on a roll.
Yeah, there's an extra word in there.
I think there's an extra word there. Don't like unprepared. It's kind of a long word to for the punchline. I'm going to give that one a C+.
Maybe if you said change the end to the Fed sits idle, the Fed sits, the Fed remains unprepared.
We don't need to rewrite these
things. The Fed remains unprepared. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, by the way, if you love the show, you can donate to the show. Go over
donate
to.
Donate a limerick.
Yeah, that's donate a limerick and $25. But you could do so over on DH Unplugged. Just stop by and click on the donation button and make sure if you donate to this show, just make sure you put DH Unplugged. If you're donating to the Adam Gets Cronked show sponsorship, just put Curry or something like that in there so we know the difference. All right. We have a new close to the pin competition, Caterpillar.
That's a good call.
Yep. We haven't done them before.
You sure?
I looked at the list today. I didn't see it.
Huh. So well, it seems like we should have done it.
Yeah. So, and I saw their sales today. They were up like 45% on a year-over-year basis for worldwide Caterpillar stuff sales. That's a lot of buildings.
Substantial.
A lot of buildings. There's going to be a lot of used Caterpillars for sale one of these days.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, let's see if we can find some investment in used Caterpillar operation.
There was an auction company. They specialized in auctioning large machinery. Ritchie Brothers. I don't know if they were bought or not. We should see if they're still trade. I somehow I remember in the back of my head that they were bought. But they get all the used stuff and they sell it. All those pink ones that you see around, I guess. Let's see here. So you can go over to DH Plug and click on the close to the pin competition and put your price guess in for Caterpillar. And you have the opportunity to win a one of a kind special edition unique and lovely t-shirt that says DJ Unplugged.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right. So some little tidbits here. Let's see here. Coffee. Coffee is one of the top three. Did you know this? Top three selling food items on Amazon. You know, like beans.
People are ordering coffee from Amazon.
Yeah, like beans.
I suppose if you haven't got a nearby roaster that can make you, you know, decent coffee, or somebody doesn't bring in good coffee, it sounds like an expensive proposition to me.
I guess they did so well that they now have a full selection of Amazon Fresh coffee. That's their private label, Amazon Fresh.
Oh, Amazon does. You know, we looked into this some time ago, and Amazon, about a third of their brands are actually house brands with different names. And then they also have the Amazon brand.
And their batteries, I'm still questioning the batteries. They seem to have less life than other batteries.
It wouldn't surprise. They're probably inferior.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's why they're cheaper. But they're the highest rated and the recommended.
Yeah, they're, of course, they're highest rated by Amazon.
Mm-hmm. They're the highest rated and the most recommended. But they have coffee they're selling now. So I think there's a lesson to be learned here, that if you do sell a product on Amazon and you're very successful, you have to watch out that they'll just create their own brand and just blow you out.
Yeah, sure. That's what these kinds of companies do. That's what their business is. That's the model. That's the business model.
Their model is...
You get to be the test market. Yeah. If you're successful, then they move in on you.
They're like a giant Pac-Man. Right? They're just kind of... And the next story, too. There's another story. They're really looking into doing their own deliveries, having an entire fleet.
Yeah, I heard this, too.
So they're starting a pilot
program. Take over UPS. All the good business UPS and FedEx is doing with it was going to be, you know, two-thirds of it would be wiped out by the Amazon trucks. And they'll take the most profitable businesses. So the poor UPS and FedEx guys will be delivering where it's kind of a money loser, out in the middle of nowhere where they have to fly in.
They have to put rugged wheels to get out there in the mud flats.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? I heard a statistic that said that Amazon is only about 6% of FedEx's total revenues and 10% of UPS. Does that seem low?
It does seem a little low, but even that's a substantial amount of money.
Oh, yes. Definitely. So that's probably why the stock sold off after this news. But what's interesting is then we hear the next piece of news from Amazon that they're laying off hundreds of employees. This is a company that's looking to expand and build a brand new massive corporate headquarters somewhere.
Yeah, in the megaplex.
Yeah. So now they're going to lay off several hundred employees at the online retailer Seattle headquarters, along with hundreds more elsewhere in Amazon's global operations, focusing on Amazon's customer retail business. And I think it's in the management area.
I didn't read this story, so I'm not sure what's going on, but it doesn't sound right. Unless they're just trying to get rid of Deadwood, or they've done some analysis and they find out that, hey, well, why are all these people working here? They don't do anything. Like any big company.
They seem to be not only eating everybody else, but they're kind of eating themselves in a way. I mean, they're going to get to a point that we know they laid off a ton of people in their distribution centers because of all the robotics and technology that they have.
Right.
There's no question about that. And, you know, who knows what else they're figuring on in terms
of...
Well,
we may be in the golden age of Amazon.
Oh, peak Amazon? Is that what you're saying?
It could be peak Amazon. And so we get it while you can, because it's pretty fantastic service.
Yeah, the best.
I mean, I get, for example, if you like tea, PG tips are available in most stores around here. It's like you get 80 bags for like $12. Sometimes you can find a place that has 80 bags for maybe $9.
You're talking about the little tea bags?
The tea bags, those pyramid-shaped PG tip tea bags. you could get them shipped directly from England, although now Amazon is catching them and then sending them, forwarding them. But generally, before they were shipped directly from England for, I believe it was between $18 and $24, two boxes of 240 or a total of 480 bags for $20 compared to 80.
Wow. That's unbelievable. You know,
it's a huge amount of, you get all this tea, you have to pass it on amongst the family, but it's like $20. You look it up for 480 bags, which is lots.
Now with your tea, when you take it out of the cup of hot water, after you let it steep for a while, are you a finger squeezer?
Yes.
You're a finger squeezer. You're not a spoon user.
I can get in and out quickly with the finger.
You can. Just do a quick squeeze and throw it.
And then squeeze.
Yeah. All right.
Just check it. Toss.
It tells a lot
about the person. I don't do it so that when this thing is still just, you know, if it's only been steeping for 2 minutes and it's boiling hot, I usually steep my tea for about 7-8 minutes.
Mm. A little honey in there?
No, I don't use honey in tea.
Nothing.
Just milk.
Mm. Ew. That just killed it.
PG Tips is a British tea. You want milk in it.
Oh, I guess with the British tea, I suppose. All right, let's see what else we have. Donald Trump Jr.'s wife was taken to the hospital in New York City after opening a package in her home containing an unknown white powder.
Yeah, cocaine. Went to the wrong address.
It seems that when she opened this, she got dizzy.
Yeah, from the psychology of it. It's, white powder, I'm dying.
Yeah, but it was deemed non-hazardous, so... But that's all we heard about that. So then there was something
that made her dizzy. It was probably baking soda.
Isn't there something that would happen today in California that there was some kind of hazardous material that was opened or something with kids and they were taken all to the hospital?
They still don't know. They still know what it was.
Mm. But it was not good. It was.
No, the kids all got sick and started throwing up all over the place and a lot of them had to go home.
Terrible. Awful. People are sick people. Sick people. Ford Motor Company on Monday warned an additional 33,000 owners of older pickup trucks in North America need to stop driving them because they have potentially my ass, defective Takata Corp airbags.
Oh, geez.
Why didn't they just fix all of these? I don't understand why this is taking years to get done.
I don't know.
Aside from the fact that they're, you know, I think it's Japan.
How much profit is in those airbags that these guys can replace millions and millions and millions of them?
They're bankrupt. They went to bankruptcy and the government had to keep them up.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's all about saving face in Japan. I think that's what it is. You know, they don't want to admit this. Just like they didn't, remember the whole Fukushima thing? They didn't admit that for years.
Yeah, it was terrible. It's embarrassing.
It's not a problem. It didn't leak into the ocean. We didn't have a meltdown. Terrible.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah. And in closing, it's probably the most important news of the evening. And we know a little bit about this, but we have some more specifics this year. So the athletes competing in the Winter Olympics have been handed a total of 110,000 condoms, a record number for the games. Works out to about 38 condoms each. And
what's going on in the village?
There's a lot of sex. You know that, right? Oh,
I've never been in one of the villages, so I don't know that.
You know, the villages in Florida is also a sex place, right? That's the over 55 place with the highest per capita, not VD, you know, what do you
VD.
What do you call it?
STDs?
STDs, yeah. Crabs.
Wow.
They got crabs. But the highest level of STDs, but... Anyway, manufacturer Convenience donated most of the condoms, but doesn't expect the athletes to use them all. 16 days total competition. So I did some math on this. We take 38, assuming everybody uses them, and they don't give some to their friends that are a little bit more promiscuous. 38 days, 16 condoms, 38 condoms, 16 days, 2.375 per day per person. And then if you have to put two people together, you have like five per day.
Yeah. Well, that means, I don't know what they're feeding them, but obviously it's not saltpeter.
Yeah. That in itself is, in my opinion, qualifies for a gold medal. You know, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So And what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
Well, I wrote about my experience with the experimental beta, perhaps, or trainee robot call center robot that, on Microsoft's product. I couldn't find something on my getting an extra person tacked onto my Office 365, and I couldn't find a little thing to click. And so I was fumbling around. I was on the wrong page, and I couldn't find the right page. And so I said, "Ah, hell with it. I'm not going to keep dicking around. Take me forever to go to get some support here." And I got a. It says, "Hi, I'm the Microsoft. I'm your Microsoft robot trainee."
Hmm.
And so this trainee did the worst job ever. Couldn't understand a word I had to say. Didn't get irony. It was pathetic.
Not ready for prime time.
No, and I think they took it offline.
That's just crazy. Crazy. So you panned it, is the point.
Yes, I panned it. Yeah. I panned it big time.
You know, by the way, we have a server in my office here.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know what, we have the server that runs everything and all the different components of the business and, you know, the different DHCP servers and DNS and all this stuff. So I have a buddy that is a tech guy. I used to work at Microsoft actually. And we bought this little NAS box that's a mirror drive, four terabyte mirrored drives that go in it. And it has the easiest setup as a shared device, and it does DNS and it could do like a Dropbox kind of thing. It does photo sharing. It does an app to upload and download your stuff from outside the office. Who needs these servers anymore?
Who makes this thing?
This is I don't know. It's like the total was about $800. And now we have to do a little work getting decoupling the computers from the domain controllers and putting them on different workgroup settings and all. But aside from that, I mean, we hooked it up. It ran. It did its own. It all runs on Linux, and it makes for a giant, not only sharing, but there's all sorts of other beautiful things you could do. It's a media server. It's a video. It's a. It has a whole area for photos, and if you want to put all your photos up there, and on the cloud concept.
Yeah, only the cloud's there in the office.
Right. Well, it's a mini cloud.
What is the name of the company? Find out.
Synovus. I think it's Synovus.
What?
Synovus. I'll get the company to you. Get company for NAS. I'll get you the whole box. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send me the box.
All right. Let's let's take a look at the.
Sending me the box.
Well, we're sending the information on the box. Let's look at the stocks, shall we?
Stocks.
This is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation by sell any security. Of course, if you do decide to do anything, hey, do your own research, and we're not liable for it. Stocks under 10 cents or even cheap stocks have a lot of volatility. So you got to do a lot of work there. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz & Company clients may own any of the securities that are mentioned. And we'll note that on the weekly stock picks page, which updates all the time over on dhunplugged.com.
Well, all the stocks are missing from the last show.
Right.
Except for Straight Path Communications, which is, I thought it was higher than this before.
It's been about the same. It's being bought out. It's being closed.
Oh, right. It's done. Okay. Right. It is, there's nothing interesting here. It's all dead money except for this Cara Therapeutics, which is down 7%.
Got kicked.
Oh, and this guy kicked in. My Baker brothers, Belgene.
Beijing,
right, from Beijing. Beijing. Yeah. What happened? Did it do a dipsy do on me?
Yeah. I mean, it was a problem. You got this giant 12% correction. Stocks just got whacked.
Okay. Well, I'll let that slide. I just put it in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Still a good idea.
Yep. And everything else is kind of a light list right now. Aflac is actually just split. They're doing a 2-for-1 split, so we'll see how that plays out with the short on Aflac. Qualcomm's doing well. They got rid of the they got the guys off their back of trying to buy them, and the stock went up, which was kind of interesting. But they're gonna have more meetings, it seems. Mm. By the way, the name of the NAS is Synology.
Synology. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
Dame Tanya just gave us that on the chat. Synology with a Y. S-Y-N-O-L-O-G-Y.
Sounds right.
I have a couple of Valentine's Day picks for this week.
Oh, okay.
So the first is I'm unfriending Facebook. Shorting.
What does that mean?
Shorting them.
Oh, yeah, good. That should be interesting to watch.
And in light of our last story, I'm going long Church and Dwight, who makes Trojan condoms.
Huh, I never heard of this company.
Church and Dwight.
Church and Dwight.
What do you got?
I got another penny stock. Yeah, listen to this at your own risk. Again, it's not really it's not an insider. It's kind of like an investor or investment company re-upping and buying more, but they already own a lot. This is the symbol is MBII.
MBII, which is Maruni Bio Innovations.
Yeah, agricultural chemicals.
Maybe they'll put blockchain in there. How great would that be?
Oh, it'd be skyrocket.
You know, a lot less people are talking about Bitcoin and cryptos lately.
Yeah, well, wonder why.
I think it's over?
No, it's not over.
No, okay.
There's no way.
So you got insiders buying this Maruni Bio Innovations. What do they do as a company?
They make chemicals for agriculture.
Oh, for agriculture. So they're... Oh, interesting. So like the potash companies or the
it's
fertilizers.
One of those types of plays. That'd be the same play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I haven't looked into it because I'm only doing this based on the charts and the insiders. With half of these picks of mine, if I actually got into the basics, got into the understanding of the company, I probably wouldn't invest in any of them.
Right.
But neither would the Baker brothers.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, we're going to end it right there. I'm going to send you some pictures from our dinner. Looks like a very interesting place. I think I may try there's a rabbit rattlesnake sausage.
Oh God, yes, you got to try that.
I got to try that. This menu, I should send you the menu. It looks pretty impressive.
That's pretty far out. They have a lot of restaurants in Austin that are very pretentious, kind of want to be world class. Probably would, maybe a couple of them actually are. And, but there's a lot of them that pretend to be.
Mm. Well, it should be fun. Should be a fun time.
The food is good there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. All right, we're going to end it there. Thanks for joining us. Again, no agenda on Thursdays at 12 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time, same time on Sundays as well, to get your inside look at really what's going on and what's happening with the news and the crap. Quick plug for you guys, okay? The way that these guys, John and Adam, first of all, the preparation, I don't even want to talk about what you must do to grab all those clips. But then to take the analysis and almost word by word and inflection point by inflection point, take it apart and put it back together to get what's under the meaning of all of it is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's fascinating to us, believe me, because we wouldn't be doing this unless, you know, we kind of got the hang of it. And so we do these breakdowns and you say, look, they use this word instead of that word. Why do you think that is? And then we get to analyze it and realize that they're doing it for some nefarious purpose. Especially the network news people should be ashamed of themselves, the stuff we uncover, the way they handle these stories. They lie.
Yep, they do.
It's just a lie.
Crazy. All right. Well, we'll get all the Limerick failures and good grades up there. And we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.